Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast with Mike Tagliere, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. So last week for the DFS show, I was out because my newborn daughter was sick. I appreciate all the well wishes on Twitter, and Tags, thanks for stepping in and doing a great job, buddy.
Oh no, man, it was a pleasure hosting. It's been a while, so hopefully I wasn't too rusty, but it was a good week at NFL, I think somewhat. My bold prediction, the Mike Evans one didn't work out, but my Johnny Holton one kind of worked out, so I was 1-for-2 in the bold prediction. So how was your weekend? I know you had the move.
Yeah, it was good. We're all set. I mean, it got done on Saturday. So I watched some football on Sunday, and we are all ready to go. Our guest today is Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com. Sigmund, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be back. And it's certainly been a wild and woolly ride. And in some ways, it's almost a relief that we're to the fantasy playoffs. And if you're lucky enough to have made the playoffs, I think everybody feels like they survived this year. And hopefully we don't overthink things and we just take things at face value instead of undermining ourselves with our intellect.
Yeah. So another week, guys, another stupid receiver getting suspended. News just broke that Gronk is going to be out this week.
Yeah.
Yep. I actually was watching that game as that happened, and to see Gronk go and do that, it was like, it seemed like it was out of character. You could tell it was blatant. Like it was after there was no mistake about it. He came out and apologized after the game. And that was like a situation where I can see what he said. He said he got caught up in the moment. And I've been saying that about wide receivers, is that if you get caught up in a moment, I understand that. It's continuing with the action that you've had the entire time going forward. So I do think he deserves to get punished for it. So seeing him getting suspended for a game is right by my mind. I think that it's a dirty play. I want to say that Tre'Davious White, didn't he get concussed on that play?
He did. Yeah.
That's not good.
I'll tell you guys, the super moon. Last time when we had Jalen Ramsey and AJ Green get in the fight and then Mike Evans spear the guy, we had a full moon. We've got a full moon again. It's happening.
Well, Michael Crabtree's coming back this week, so you never know what's going to happen with him and Marcus Peters.
Yeah. So we're going to hop right into the meat today, guys. Afterwards, Tags and I are just going to be talking about week 13 injuries, some drops. But first, let's do our top pickups of the week, who are owned in less than 50% of fantasy leagues. Sigmund, who's your top guy?
Well, now that we're talking about Rob Gronkowski, I think that we will have people that are going to the waiver wire to get their tight ends this week. So I want to put some attention on Steven Anderson in Houston. And, you know, we saw this week two receivers, Bruce Ellington and Braxton Miller, both go down. We saw CJ Fedorowicz go down. Steven Anderson's the last man standing, basically. And while it is San Francisco, and I know that Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears couldn't make it a good passing day against San Francisco, but generally teams have a lot of success passing against San Francisco. And Texans will continue to be a lean and run heavy team. So, there's obvious guys like Josh Gordon, Kenyon Drake, who made good on their increased opportunity. But I think Anderson could be one of those season savers for teams in the first round of the playoffs that won't have Gronkowski.
That's a good point. Yeah, I wasn't thinking so much about Anderson. How much would you spend on him, Sig?
Oh, if I had Rob Gronkowski and I had to start whoever I got off of the waiver wire, I mean, it, you know, look, at this point, you fire your bullets. So at this point, I would use almost everything I have left. And
okay,
this is a great moment for me to say, okay, those of you listening to this show for waiver wire advice, defense. This is the time to make pickups. Look at your opponent's lineup. And even if it's making pickups that you don't need, you pick up a Steven Anderson, you pick up a David Njoku, you pick up someone to block them, because that can mean just as much of a difference for you to win or lose than someone helping your lineup. Or yeah, this is just another reason to be thorough with your waiver wire pickups. Maybe you're five deep at running back. You don't need a running back, but if Peyton Barber is out there, why let somebody else benefit from that? Mike Davis, why let somebody else benefit from that? So this is a time not just to look at what will help you. There's only a few weeks left. Fire your bullets. Use your dollars in some way to help your team. One way that it can help your team win a championship is to deny someone else a player that can come through for them.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, you really don't think about that. When you said defense, I was like, oh, is he looking forward on the waiver wire for defenses that he's going to pick up for the coming weeks? That's a really smart play. And I actually did that in one of my leagues this week with Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown?
No, I picked up Brandon LaFell to block that owner. It's funny, my wife didn't do this. She didn't do the same. So her opponent's actually going to play Brandon LaFell tonight. And her playoff dreams kind of hinge on that. So it's kind of funny how everything kind of plays out. But Steven Anderson, people don't realize he's actually led this team in targets at tight end. He has 40 targets in the year. Ryan Griffin, the closest with 26. He's more than doubled the yardage of Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin. So there is definitely something to that. He played a really good game last week. And before the Bears, by the way, and their ugly tight end situation of Deion Sims out there leading them in targets, he ended a streak of five games in a row where the 49ers had a lot of tight end touchdown. So I think that's really interesting. I haven't gotten to that game in my research yet this week, but I'm sure Steven Anderson is going to be a very popular streamer. So that's definitely a good call.
Tags, who's your top guy?
Marquise Goodwin. And if you, I was actually high on him last week. I know we talked about him on the show, and I was saying that he's been sneaky good, even on limited targets. Like, he's been getting it done. And I think, granted, he does rely on the big play quite a bit, but Jimmy Garoppolo under center, he looks confident. He looks poised. He looked really good. I know his final stat line wasn't like promising for fantasy owners, and I don't think anybody's picking up Jimmy Garoppolo expecting, you know, massive numbers or anything. But to see Marquise Goodwin out there being extremely efficient, that's what you're looking for. And knowing that you're going to get a wide receiver who's seeing 8+ targets with Garoppolo under center, it's impossible not to like him. I mean, right now, I would rather have him than Corey Coleman.
And he gave up his first row seat to Garoppolo.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Corey Coleman, I think you just said it there, is that he lost basically what he had going for him, and that was volume in the offense with Josh Gordon coming back. Josh Gordon, 11 targets, and Corey Coleman went down to 4 targets, didn't catch a single one. Marquise Goodwin is definitely a player that I would rather have than Corey Coleman going forward. So, I mean, how much do we spend on these players? Marquise Goodwin is a type of player where, I mean, we're going into week 14. It's the fantasy playoffs. I mean, you're not going to find wide receivers who are getting 8 targets in the waiver wire. So Marquise Goodwin tied to Jimmy Garoppolo. I want to say they have a favorable schedule coming down. Obviously, the Texans this week is a very good one. So yeah, Marquise Goodwin, I'm willing to spend the rest of my fab budget on him. If you want to save some of it, I think that you're able to get him you probably can get him for 10 fab bucks. I don't think it takes more than that, but yeah, I'm definitely high on Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, I've got Goodwin down for 7 fab bucks. And, you know, I'm looking at his schedule right now, his game log, 116 yards, 80 yards, 68, 83, 78. He's just got 2 stinkers in there, and that's since week 5. I mean, he's been consistent all along. If you look at his receiving yards since week 5, I mean, he's up there ahead of some big-time names. Doug Baldwin, he's up there ahead of Mike Evans, AJ Green, Demaryius Thomas, Alshon Jeffrey, Dez Bryant. He's getting it done week in and week out.
Yeah, what are your takes on Goodwin, Zig?
Yeah, and what I was just pointing out was that when Jimmy Garoppolo got on, I think it was the team bus after the game, Goodwin gave up his first row seat to Garoppolo, and the whole team cheered for it.
That's awesome.
So, you know, he appreciates it, and I think that it's a material upgrade in quarterback for him. Obviously, San Francisco is going to be in pass-heavy game script, so I have Goodwin. There actually is a lot of help, and when I do my waiver wire column for football guys, I cast a wide net, so there's a lot of receivers who might be on the waiver wire that can help you this week, and I see Goodwin in a group with guys like Mike Wallace. And Mike Wallace, so if Goodwin is, you know, you're liking Goodwin this week and next week against Tennessee, not so much in Jacksonville. in week 16. But you're liking Wallace, maybe not as much this week, a revenge game against one of his old teams, the Steelers. But then he gets Cleveland and Indy. So you're liking Wallace maybe if you have more, if you have a bye. D.D. Westbrook, Jacksonville has a rougher game, maybe rougher. Seattle's defense maybe a little bit better. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But then Jacksonville has those good matchups, including San Francisco. And I think that there's a lot of potential players. And depending on how thin your waiver wire is or how thick it is or how deep your benches are, you know, maybe Marquise Lee is out there. He was coming off of a bad game. Maybe people were waiting for another week for Jermaine Kearse to prove it. So I think that it's a potentially, and even Kenny Stills this week showing that he can kindle something with Jay Cutler, as mm-hmm. he looked like it was like just the Matt Moore special. So there's a pretty deep group of guys. And of course, again, with Josh Gordon, if your league was at all skeptical about Josh Gordon and needed to wait to see him, I think he would definitely lead the wide receiver group. But it's mm-hmm. a surprisingly deep group of guys that are coming on this late in the season.
I think there was one person in most leagues who loved Josh Gordon. Tags, I want to pick your brain about Mike Wallace, because you and I both think that Mike Wallace is so boom or bust that you can't really get away with starting him every week. I mean, you look at his game log, 8 receiving yards, 7 receiving yards, 6, 9, 19, 30. There are some horrible games in there, but he has been getting it done each of the last 3 weeks. He's been seeing a lot of targets. Tags, do you feel safe playing Mike Wallace at this point now?
I will say that it helps that Joe Flacco, after their win that they had in week 12, he came out and said that there's no way that they're going to have Super Bowl aspirations with the offense playing like they would, that they needed to open it up. And that's really telling, because Joe Flacco has been known as, he was known as like a gunslinger earlier in his career, but now he's become like a check down master that wasn't taking any shots downfield. Granted, the wide receivers are not ones that you really would suggest he throws the ball downfield to. Breshad Perriman's turned out to be a bust. Chris Moore is what he is. Mike Wallace has lost some of the speed that he has over the top. Jeremy Maclin, another aging receiver. So it's hard to play the offense that he wants to play, but it was good to see them take a shot down the field to Mike Wallace, because he still is the best deep threat on the team. So do I think that he is worth a pickup? Sure. If you're looking for a desperation option, I'm not counting on him to win fantasy championships or anything, because he's on the schedule. He does have Pittsburgh. Then he has Cleveland, which he's likely to see Jason McCourty in that game, because Jeremy Maclin's going to be in the slot against Boddy Calhoun. And then, as Sig mentioned, the Colts in week 16, that's a fantastic matchup. You can definitely do worse than Mike Wallace. He's like in that wide receiver 4 territory where you don't feel comfortable. But I mean, how many wide receivers outside the top, 20, 25, do you feel actually comfortable starting?
Not many, but some I feel a lot more comfortable starting than Mike Wallace.
I understand the worry about it, but it's at the same time, it's we're in desperate times.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys mentioned your top two wide receivers. I've got D.D. Westbrook as my number one, and mostly what it comes down to is he's getting a lot of targets, and he has a pretty good remaining schedule. I mean, this week against Seattle, I don't know if you start him. Hopefully you have a better option than that. But week 15, Houston, week 16, San Francisco. I feel like if he's out there, you spend a lot to get him.
Absolutely. And look, Westbrook was a touchdown master in college, and it's after the catch. It's getting behind the defense. It's the double move. He can find ways to break through against poor defenses. We've seen Houston's pass defense leak against, you know, someone like T.Y. Hilton. And we know about San Francisco. We also know that Blake Bortles. So there's a funny thing here. Like, yeah, I don't want D.D. Westbrook. That means I have to count on Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles is playing well. Blake Bortles is throwing the ball Blake Bortles was moving the offense more than the running game against Indy. So I do think that that might be not be as scary a proposition, one part of your fantasy playoff fate riding on the arm of Blake Bortles.
Yeah. I mean, everyone talks about Cooper Kupp and how many targets he's getting. D.D. Westbrook gets more targets than Cooper Kupp.
He's been, they've been trusting Bortles to drop back and pass a lot. And I think a lot of it comes down to what opposing defenses are doing. I was taking a look at NFL's Next Gen stats earlier today, and Leonard Fournette is facing almost 60% 8+ man fronts over the last month. That's ridiculous territory. Like, if you're, I mean, the league average is right around 30%. So if you're seeing them close to 60%, it's almost double the time. So Blake Bortles is throwing to basically 3 DBs in the backfield. Like, otherwise, there's 8+ men inside the box. So obviously with D.D. Westbrook, he stretches the field in a way that you would obviously like the quarterback to have. And we obviously, going back to the 2015 season with Allen Robinson, he was really good that year because of the deep ball. Blake Bortles and him were able to connect on a lot of deep balls. Westbrook can do that, even though they haven't really shown it yet. Six catches for 78 yards. That's not really it. Six catches for 41 yards the week before. So they haven't really shown off the deep game yet. He's only his longest pass of the year has been 28 yards. There's still upside in this matchup. I still think that Marquise Lee is the one that you would expect to have a little bit more consistency, whereas D.D. Westbrook is more of like the one that stretches the field, even though they're not using him in that. Do you guys worry a little bit, though, that if Allen Hurns comes back, that it's going to eat into him and Keelan Cole's production?
Well, sure, but at this point, I would say Hurns has been out long enough that we're going to have to see him get in a week of limited practices just for him to get on the field, and I think that reconditioning, yep. And this is a playoff team, so they're not going to rush him back. Maybe leading up to week 17, they're looking at that game against Tennessee as a really big one. So I would say that while I would be concerned for the second week that Hurns is back, I don't think that he's going to be back this week, and we'll keep that on our radar. But for now, I would say that Westbrook might, if he heats up, as the third receiver, because we saw Keelan Cole score last week as the third receiver. Mm-hmm. So even the third receiver against Houston and San Francisco might end up being something of value. So you pick him up and you wait and see.
Yeah,
I like Allen Hurns as a player. Like, he's a solid asset to an NFL team. But at this point, if he comes back, I mean, he's going to come back. But when he comes back, he's not going to be the number two. It's Didi.
I mean, Hurns has been playing a lot of the slot, too. So you have to think when they're in three wide sets, it doesn't really matter, because the real question comes down to, is it Didi Westbrook or is it Keelan Cole on the outside? Because they were playing Keelan Cole in three wide receiver sets when Hurns was healthy. But I would have to think that Westbrook, with the way he's getting targeted, that he's taken over that job. And it's going to be him and Lee on the outside with Hurns in the slot once he returns. So I don't think his value necessarily goes away, but I'm just worried about if it eats into his target share a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you can look at what they've done the last 3 weeks, right? With Allen Hurns out, D.D. Westbrook has 25 targets. Keelan Cole, 16 targets. D.D. Westbrook's leading the team with 235 air yards. They just keep giving him the ball, man.
Yeah. The air yards are there. And again, once they start connecting on that deep ball, it's going to be something. And, we talked about it. The schedule is one of the best. And Blake Bortles, it's crazy, Sig. You mentioned it. He's playing well. And we're heading into a time where he's got one of the best schedules in the NFL coming up. It's hard not to trust Blake Bortles down the stretch. And if you're one of those that streams quarterbacks, Bortles is one of those that's probably available on the waiver wire. You're looking between him and Josh McCown. I mean, is there a quarterback that you'd prefer of those two, Sig? Because Josh McCown is someone who's on our waiver wire list this week because he's only 40% owned. I don't know how he's that low owned considering he's finished as a top 8 quarterback now in four of the last 6 games. Like, Josh McCown's playing fantastic football.
He is, and it's the way he's riffing with his receivers, with Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse. It's the way that they're putting together these long drives. The other thing you have to like about McCown is his willingness to just put his head down and score when they're on the doorstep.
Yep.
He's got 5 rushing touchdowns already this year. And the defense is not doing him favors as far as keeping games low scoring. So he should have a lot of opportunities. And I think that ideally you might do something like, I like McCown this week. It's funny how strange this year is. Denver, all of a sudden, Denver defense. We're going to target that Denver matchup probably more than Bortles against Seattle. And then the next 2 weeks, you might want Bortles. So if it's this week, I'm picking up McCown. If I'm picking up a backup, then I'm looking more towards Bortles.
Yeah, and by the way, I just want to mention that I'm not opposed to doing that. If you're in a league and let's say you have 6-7 bench spots, whatever the case, and there's nobody on the waiver wire that you really want to grab, or everybody runs out, I am not opposed to holding Josh McCown and Blake Bortles and going back and forth between them. This is actually the point in the year, if you're a streamer, you actually want to look ahead and think that way, because if you're doing what Sig did at the beginning of the show, playing defense as a fantasy owner, you're going to go and try and pick up the top streamer so that they can't play them. Even if you have Russell Wilson, even if you have Tom Brady, go out there and grab the top streamer to block your opponents from doing it. So it comes back to your strategy that you mentioned at the top of the show. I love it.
Yeah, you can do it with defenses too. Look ahead to the next week, see who the best projected defense is, or whoever's going up against Cleveland, and pick them up a week in advance, because you're probably out of fab money, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, it's a weird time. I mean, there's one league where I noticed earlier last week that I had, I think it was like 78% of my budget left, and I was like, I'm so stupid. I just didn't spend my money, so I spent it to get the Chargers last week, and that's what I'm gonna do. I'm basically gonna spend my budget on getting the top streaming defense every week, and kind of go that way. But it's and we're at the point in the season where you have to spend your money somewhere. You don't get any extra dollars next year if you don't spend it this year. So. Don't be afraid to spend if you want somebody on the waiver wire like Marquise Goodwin. Can we talk about Mike Davis?
We have to, right? Yeah.
I mean, Bobby, I've said it on this show like countless times that I don't want a Seattle running back, but I've been watching Mike Davis the last two games that he's played. Obviously, he missed a game in between there, but Mike Davis looks really good. And the Seattle offense is clicking on all cylinders in terms of Russell Wilson and what he's been able to do with the wide receivers. It's opening things up for the running backs. Going for 64 yards may not sound like much, but against a Philly defense that has allowed two running backs all season, more than 40 yards rushing, it's an accomplishment, especially behind that offensive line. So Mike Davis, he's my number three in terms of wide receiver running back. He's my number one running back pickup this week.
I've got Peyton Barber ahead of him just because he got 27 touches last week for over 140 yards. I know Doug Martin's probably going to come back soon, but when he comes back, this might be Peyton Barber's job because he's getting it done. I mean, he's not the most athletic or talented. It's not the best offense to be a part of. But if he's getting 27 touches, including goal line work, yeah, he's my number one pickup. I'll spend my whole entire budget on him.
This is so funny. And Sig, I'm going to pass it to you because sure. It reminds me, I was on your show last year and you and I talked about our favorite late season stashes. And I remember you had said Peyton Barber was one that you would stash last year. And it's weird how it comes full circle. And here we are entering the end of the season here. And Peyton Barber goes for over 100 yards rushing. I tweeted out earlier today that Barber ran for 102 yards. Doug Martin hasn't done that since week 11 of 2015. There have been 19 games in between then and now where he has totaled double-digit carries. So I am of the mindset that Peyton Barber should have this job. He should have stole the job last week. I don't know if that's the case going forward, but which one would you prefer, Barber or Mike Davis, and why?
I've got them in the same tier of, players that I might spend at least half of what I have left, especially at this point. I also have Alfred Morris in that tier, by the way, just in case he was dropped because he was starting to tail off. But I would probably, I think that Barber, if I had to start somebody this week, I might look to Mike Davis because of that uncertainty about Doug Martin and about how the Bucs are going to handle their backfield. But over the next 3 weeks, and this is another moment, public service announcements, they don't have week 17 Super Bowls. I say next 3 weeks, like,
yes,
it's the second most important thing in your rules behind no trade vetoes. That's one I'll run for president on, no trade vetoes in fantasy football leagues.
Yeah,
I'll vote for you.
With that and shortening the work week. So I would say that, short term, Alfred Morris, I would say that in between the two, Mike Davis, and for your playoff fantasy leagues, Chris Carson could be back, but probably not for the regular season. But Barber has the best chance, I believe, to be somebody that we look back and we say, like, he won our season for us.
Yeah. I'm looking at the schedules here. Peyton Barber next week, it's Detroit. Their bottom six against the run this year. And then Mike Davis goes to Jacksonville. And I know Jacksonville's like middle of the road for the full season. But ever since they got Marcell Dareus, they've been top three.
Right. And the Rams are no pushover the following week. And, you know, it just seems like the Tampa's going to be a little more faithful to the run than Seattle. But either way, you know, again, these are players, prime players to play defense on, looking at your opponents. And the other thing that I want to point out here, again, for folks, just to go over the stuff with a fine-tooth comb, we've all had experiences where your number four or number five running back at the beginning of the fantasy playoffs is your starter by the end of the fantasy playoffs. So, you know, you might just be thinking it's a half dozen in one hand, six in the other, saying like, well, I got Bilal Powell and then there's Mike Davis out there. But then by week 16, you're having to start whoever that fifth running back is because of injuries or who knows what. So absolutely, you know, these are players that I want to go back to something Mike said too. If you find yourself with money at the end of the year, like now, you have to spend it. You have to. There's just no reason at this point. Show you spend 75% of your budget on Mike Davis. That's fine. That's better than, I don't think there's going to be a running back as good as Mike Davis or Peyton Barber on the waiver wire next week is basically what I'm getting at.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I agree. Yeah. It's crazy how random people win fantasy leagues every year. You've got Bilal Powell. You've got Tim Hightower on there. Tyler Thigpen, if you guys remember, back with the Chiefs, they were scoring over 30 points per game, and he was the top fantasy quarterback over the last 10 weeks, and then he didn't have a job for the rest of his career. I can't understand that.
Chan Gailey. It's all Chan Gailey. Chan Gailey can make – Chan Gailey's the guy you want. And John Morton, by the way, the name John Morton should be known more, speaking of Josh McCown and the Jets, as what he's done with that offense. But going all the way back, and this isn't that far back, but at least in fantasy football terms all the way back, Billy Volek to Drew Bennett. Look it up.
Billy Volek. Okay. That's awesome. Billy Volek reference. You know the show's good when you talk about Billy Volek, the career backup to Philip Rivers. Now, real quick, I do want to touch on Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is someone that I think a lot of people might run to the waiver wire if they didn't watch the games this weekend. They might just see the fantasy performance and think, oh, Aaron Jones, he's going to be fantasy relevant. Guys, he had one carry, and I know that that one carry went for a touchdown, but that's not someone that you want to trust going into your fantasy playoffs. Right now, I think he's more of a handcuff to Jamal Williams than he is a timeshare running back. If you're the Packers, why would you go away from Jamal Williams, who's been running like a madman? I know that his yards per carry isn't like through the roof or anything like that, but his offensive line is in shambles. The offense can't score points. Brett Hundley is awful. There's so much here. And Aaron Jones, he just goes back to a handcuff, right? Like, I'm not wrong here. Like, do you guys think that Aaron Jones is going to be anything more than that?
If you're the Packers, why would you go away from Jamal Williams? Well, because Aaron Jones, 19 for 125 and a touchdown, 17 for 131 and a touchdown against the Saints. Aaron Jones is really good too. See, I have a problem with Jamal Williams here because I think that Aaron Jones is going to split the carries moving forward. I think last week he didn't play much because he wasn't 100%. Maybe he won't be 100% this week, but I think he really cuts into the carries. And with that said, I mean, Jamal Williams is going to cut into Aaron Jones carries too. So I'd spend like $6 on Aaron Jones and cross my fingers that something works out with him, but I don't think it probably will.
I agree with Mike's take here that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And Jamal Williams has been running really well playing up. Now, Aaron Jones, we would have said, you know, it was decisively Aaron Jones. And maybe by the time Aaron Rodgers comes back, it is more of a split backfield. And Bobby, to your point, there was the game Aaron Jones was looking like he should rule that backfield. And there was a game that they went back basically to a committee. And when asked about it, they said, well, we think that something to the effect of, you know, we think that way we've got the backfield split up is just fine. So they may prefer a committee backfield. But I think that if you could have one or the other, you would have Jamal Williams. But that doesn't mean that Aaron Jones isn't worth a roster spot now that he's back. And again, that Aaron Jones is going to be back. And that's something else I want to say too, by the way, that just check to see if anybody dropped Jordy Nelson. Just check.
I was going to say the same thing. Yes, yes. Because a lot of people have dropped him, Zig. Like, I've had so many people on my timeline telling me that they dropped Jordy Nelson. If Aaron Rodgers comes back in week 15, you have yourself a top six wide receiver. Like, that's just how it is. Nelson and Rodgers, like, I watch a lot of football, like a lot. And what Rodgers and Nelson have is special. Like, the communication between those two on the back shoulder catches, the two are so in sync. Him and Devontae Adams haven't gotten quite to that point. They're getting there. But I'm telling you, Nelson was such a timing wide receiver that Rodgers coming back is everything. And don't underestimate the power of Aaron Rodgers. Like, Jordy Nelson, I'd rather own Jordy than like Doug Baldwin at that point if Aaron Rodgers is back. Like, that's how high I would be on Jordy Nelson.
This is what I was remembering, okay? I'm looking at the first 6 weeks for the Packers. Devontae Adams had 28 receptions on 49 targets. Randall Cobb had 34 targets, 26 receptions. Jordy Nelson just had 25 receptions. Mm-hmm. He was right next to Randall Cobb in terms of yards too, but you're right, the 6 touchdowns, and he's done it throughout his career.
The only one that you could really trust under Hundley is Devontae Adams, and you know, this week it's happening against the Browns. I don't know. There's just so many problems with Brett Hundley. I don't want to get into that. We just go down a very, very dark road. Is there anybody else?
They're going to have to pass a lot if they want to keep up with Josh Gordon.
Well, that's true. Josh Gordon, by the way, is like, I can't wait to watch him this week. He's a must start. We'll talk about that on the Start Sit show on Wednesday. But Sig, before you get out of here, I know we're short on time here, but is there anybody else on the waiver wire that you wanted to mention that you feel like is worth a pickup that maybe some people aren't thinking about right now?
Well, just a few players I'll highlight. Joe Flacco, just because it's Cleveland and Indianapolis, and we talked about him as somebody that is asking for the offense to go vertical more often. And again, this is more playing defense. You don't want to start him. Even DeShone Kizer becomes interesting because he's adding with his running ability. He's got Josh Gordon now. The first week back, Josh Gordon looked like, I don't know, 75% of old Josh Gordon, and old Josh Gordon was one of the top five wide receivers in the league, and it was his first week back. I think this is all, again, always a time to do due diligence. Depending on how deep your league is, you might want to be looking at players like Trey Edmonds and Jonathan Williams. Jonathan Williams, who's even a healthy scratch right now, just because it's the Saints' running game. And if you can get a piece of that. So, you know, in your typical 12-team, 20-man rosters, I'm not sure how deep your waiver wire is going to go, but I think these are players that absolutely merit some consideration. I also want to go ahead and call some attention to a few more tight ends that you, if you have to go to a tight, the waiver wire for your tight end. Cameron Brate, just because Jameis Winston only looks to him and him only in the red zone with those two touchdowns this week. I mentioned David Njoku looked fantastic against the Chargers, and I think that Josh Gordon's going to open up the middle of the field for him.
Njoku's a monster, man.
Yeah, he's going to be so much fun to watch in upcoming weeks, years. Ricky Seals-Jones has something going with Blaine Gabbert, and even though he didn't score this week, he still had two receptions over 15 yards. He still had five targets. He still looks like basically the number two target, and it's going against Tennessee this week, and Steven Anderson just lit up Tennessee. So Ricky Seals-Jones is another one to put in. Again, just to play defense, and maybe it's your tight end that gets suspended next week. You don't know. And Mercedes Lewis. Can you believe we're still talking about Mercedes Lewis? But hey,
were we ever talking about Mercedes Lewis until this year?
There was that year he had 10 touchdowns. One year he had 10 touchdowns. But he's been a consistent part of this offense. You know, he's one of the top numbers they're going to call in the red zone. And again, Jacksonville has these matchups against Houston and San Francisco that just looks so good as far as passing upside. So
yeah.
The nice thing, if you lost Gronk this week, the nice thing is that there have been a lot of tight ends. And I think this year, when we look back on 2017 as the things we learned or things that changed in fantasy football this year, I think this was the year that streaming tight end became actually like really viable in the same way that not as strong as streaming quarterback. But, you know, we're seeing that if in week 14 there are 3, 4, 5 options that we may well rank in our top 12 or 15 that are on the waiver wire in almost every league, you know, Anderson, Njoku, these guys are definitely on the waiver wire in 90 plus 95. I mean, Anderson, I have on a few of my deep dynasty leagues. Mm-hmm. So it's a good year to see that really you have those 6 or 7 tight ends that we're playing every week. And then after that, it's really based on matchups. And even some of these guys like Jack Doyle that you were relying week in and week out, you may look at Steven Anderson as a better play than Jack Doyle this week.
It's definitely possible. And there was just one more name. Tion Green, is he someone that people should consider on the waiver wire? Or is this more like a 1 week thing?
Well, if he wasn't on the Lions, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Amir Abdullah's injury is a multi-week injury. And I think they kept Green on as a special teamer. And that's kind of true of Trey Edmonds down in for the Saints, too. But you could do worse. I mean, I'll always go, if we really want to go on the deep dives, you know, certainly Tyon Green, Travers Cadet, don't forget him, as, you know, Mike Tolbert's going to be back, but if LeSean McCoy goes down, you know, again, joining Edmonds and Williams, these are the guys for due diligence. And yes, I do have, it's the 1% tier. I'm, you know, one unit. Yeah, Green is worth one unit, and certainly this is also a good time, I should say, on the flip side, to really be asking yourself serious questions about like whether you're actually going to use a player for the rest of the season now. So, you know, maybe we were excited about Danny Woodhead, but right now he's just one of a three-way committee, or, you know, maybe at wide receiver, you've been holding on to, you know, you liked Josh Reynolds last week because of him coming on as the number three receiver. And that's another name, by the way, to toss out there, Robert Woods, to check and see if he's out there. They say he may be back for week 15. So you also want to be thorough, not just looking at guys to pick up, but looking at your roster and saying, is this player really going to help me? Because if you drop them in for Tyon Green and then next week Theo Riddick gets hurt and then Tyon Green's a feature back for weeks 15 and 16, you'll be happy you did it.
Yeah. Well, Sigmund, we really appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. I always look forward to it. And it's, you know, it's a great thing to get to do what we do. And it's nice because as the season goes on, the games and the storylines give us more energy to power us through. And of course, the great audiences and people that we work for, they're fantastic.
You're exactly right.
Absolutely. And Sig's one of my favorite in the industry. Thanks for coming on again, man. We appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the season. I know that we'll obviously always invite you back on, but we're now heading into week 14. It's unlikely we'll talk to you the rest of the season. So good luck for the remainder of the season. And I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon.
Can't wait. Thanks.
All right, and before we move on to the last waiver wire pickups and some guys about 50%, some drops, I want to talk about the sponsor of today's show, Lisa Mattress. So I ran some errands this afternoon before the recording, and Tags was trying to get a hold of me. I'm pretty sure he just assumed I was taking a big nap on my Lisa mattress, and I'll tell you what, I really wish that I was. It really is the most comfortable bed I've ever slept on, and America agrees because Lisa was the fastest growing e-retailer in 2015 because everyone found out how comfortable the mattresses were and told their friends and family. And you can try it for yourself because they offer everyone 100 nights risk-free and with free shipping. We've got a promo code for you if you want to try it. It's going to save you $100 off your order. Just go to lisa.com/fantasypros. That's LEESA.com/fantasypros for $100 off your mattress order. All right, Tag, so I'm looking at the rest of my list, and there's a few guys we haven't talked about. Number one is Corey Coleman. I've got him up at number four on my list. I'd still spend quite a bit to get him. I know he just put up a big zero with Josh Gordon in the lineup, but I think Corey Coleman is still immensely talented, and I think you've got to add him if he's available.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I do think he's still worth adding, and I have him at number six. He's right there with Mike Wallace in my waiver wire rankings, so he's definitely in that conversation. I'm not going to pretend that he all of a sudden just goes away. It could have been a bad game, and I do want to address that because there's a lot of people that seen that Josh Gordon was being covered by Casey Hayward, and it led them to think, well, why isn't Corey Coleman producing then? That's because Trevor Williams is the cornerback on the other side. He has been playing at a Pro Bowl level himself this year. There's a reason that the Chargers, Josh Gordon, there's only been one wide receiver who has totaled more than 85 yards against the Chargers all year, and that was Odell Beckham. So it kind of just goes to show how tough that matchup was. DeShone Kizer didn't look very good in that matchup. You might regret dropping him or not picking him up after this week, because they're playing the Packers. The Packers secondary allows the fourth most fantasy points per target to opposing wide receivers. So it's a fantastic matchup. Honestly, Sig mentioned it and I wanted to go back to it. So I'll do it now. DeShone Kizer, if he's available on your waiver wire, I suggest grabbing him. If you want to play defense in terms of what Sig said, like block someone, picking him up. I honestly would, if you're one that streams quarterbacks, he's up there. I consider him honestly, he's teetering on the QB1 territory this week. So
what?
You have to like him against Green Bay. I kid you not. I've been going through the numbers today. I've already looked up that matchup, and it's one impossible. If you like Josh Gordon a lot, and if you think that Corey Coleman can be efficient, and if you think that Duke Johnson is there, David Njoku, all these options that he has to go to, DeShone Kizer in three of his last five games has scored at least 18 fantasy points, showing a solid floor. He can run for a touchdown. There's so much to like here. And, we'll talk about that on the Start Sit show. But I did want to say that Kizer is someone I would grab off the wire as well. And Corey Coleman.
I'll tell you
again,
what, if my opponent is playing DeShone Kizer, I'm going to be pumped up.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, it's the year where these crazy, wacky quarterbacks have come back. Like Alex Smith last week, you know, nobody wanted to play him, but I talked about him saying that don't give up on Alex Smith, and he plays a good game. And, you know, Josh McCown has been, I think it's over the last 5 weeks, he's been a top six fantasy quarterback. So it's just like there's so many odd things happening in fantasy football. You kind of have to go with the times. And against the Packers, there's really not a whole lot to dislike, you know, when you look at who they've played and what they've allowed this year. So I kind of like DeShone Kizer this week.
I think that's fair. I still wouldn't spend one fab dollar on him, but I guess if he's available and you have roster room, and your team's not loaded or whatever, I could see picking him up. I'm not going to make fun of it too much.
Well, yeah, if you're in a two quarterback league and he's on the wire, he's an absolute must start this week. Yes. Like, but again, it all depends on who's available, who you have on your team. All those things come into consideration. But I do believe that DeShone Kizer is going to put up QB1 numbers this week. And when I say QB1, I mean top 12. Because some people got confused, I guess, last week when I said that someone was going to put up wide receiver 3 numbers. And they thought that number three overall. No, when we reference wide receiver one, it's top 12, wide receiver two, top 24, wide receiver three, top 36. That's how I reference them when I talk about them. So I just wanted to be clear about that.
Who was the player that you recommended as a wide receiver three? I just want to think about it from this guy's mindset. Like, who did he think you were saying was a top three wide receiver for the week?
Josh Doctson. I said that Josh Doctson, I felt like you should be able to start Josh Doctson as a wide receiver three last week. And as it turned out, he ended up scoring a touchdown and he's going to finish in the top 36. So it did work out. And he's like, oh, I thought you meant wide receiver three, like he was going to be top three. And I'm like, no.
That's funny. He had to be so excited. Like, man, I found a gem. No, that's not what happened.
No, it's not what happened.
There are four other guys I want to talk about that are in my top 11 that I would actually spend some fab on. Like, I'm not saying more than a handful of dollars, but Rod Smith, you already talked about him. I know Alfred Morris is playing well, but he's still got the ability and the upside there. I'd spend a couple on him. James Conner is still on my list. Charkhandrick West is still on my list. Zay Jones still getting a lot of targets. I know that he's not especially been getting it done, but you can't really beat that. Dontrell Inman is another guy. And then Kerwin Williams for Arizona, just in case AP's out again.
So Zay Jones is an interesting one. This week, a lot of people were trusting him for whatever reason. I was told that he was considered to be a good play in DFS. I didn't really understand it against New England with the way they've been playing. But even though he's like one of the league's least efficient wide receivers in terms of yardage per target, like he ranked coming into this past week, he ranked 113th of 116 wide receivers in yards per target. So he's not been getting it done on an efficiency standpoint, but week 14 this week, he's playing against the Colts. And let's talk about this for a second. They lost their starting free safety, their top draft pick earlier in the season. They cut Vontae Davis, their top cornerback. Then they lost Rashawn Melvin, their next best cornerback. And now news just broke while we were doing the show. Pierre Desir, their next number one cornerback, is now on IR for the year. He's out for the year. So they're missing their top three cornerbacks and their top starting free safety. So this matchup, if Zay Jones can't get it done here, it seems like he might be playing with Nathan Peterman, which is a little scary. I get it. But at the same time, I don't expect Kelvin Benjamin back at any time. So I think Zay Jones is actually a solid play. If you're looking for a last-ditch effort at wide receiver or your flex because of an injury or whatever, I think that he's not a bad play.
Yeah, since week 7, he has more targets than Brandon Cooks and AJ Green, T.Y. Hilton. He's getting so many looks, 45 targets since week 7.
Yeah, he's been getting looks all season, and it hasn't led to production, unfortunately. But at the same time, that volume eventually will turn into something. It's like impossible for it not to. So again, the matchup is just so good. I don't know how you don't score points against the Colts.
So is there anyone else in your top 12 or anyone else you'd spend any fab bucks on tags?
I mean, one player I would look into is Julius Thomas. We've been seeing him getting more and more utilized in the offense. He's been getting more consistent targets. Now, his yardage totals aren't going to be anything out of this world. I think we know that. But the touchdowns, he's obviously a red zone threat. He scored against Denver his revenge game touchdown. He plays the Patriots this week. The Patriots have been pretty giving to tight ends for the most part. They've stepped up as of late, so I don't want to take away all credit. But Julius Thomas is someone that you could pay attention to. We've talked a lot about tight ends this episode, and it all comes down to the streaming thing. I'm not one to grab a tight end and ride him for a long time. I'm just one that I'm going to stream tight ends like every single week. So And Cameron Brate, I do want to mention that people are going back to him automatically as a tight end one, and I get that, but I want you to know he played a season low 42% of the snaps this week. So I think there's a little bit more to him not being healthy because he was questionable last week. OJ Howard has now run more pass routes than him in each of the last two games. So his matchup against the Browns this week, you're playing him, yes, but just keep an eye on that.
Tags, you'd prefer Julius Thomas to Ricky Seals-Jones, right?
I do slightly. Ricky Seals-Jones, again, he's just not playing enough snaps. He is getting targeted when he's on the field, so that can't be, you can't look past that. So I do have him right behind Julius Thomas, but I would take Julius Thomas just because I know he's a full-time player.
All right. Any other players you want to bring up, Tags?
The last one I want to mention is, I talked about Marquise Goodwin earlier, but I think Trent Taylor is someone that you should pay attention to with Jimmy Garoppolo. So we've seen Carlos Hyde getting tons and tons of targets, with CJ Beathard under center. Going to Garoppolo, he didn't see nearly as many. And Trent Taylor actually had 6 catches for 92 yards against the Bears. And the Bears, by the way, defend the slot extremely well. So if that's a telling sign of production going forward, Trent Taylor is actually a name to monitor. And if you're looking for someone with a decent floor, I think he has it against Houston, Tennessee next the week after that, and then Jacksonville. But the next 2 weeks, Houston and Tennessee, you really can't complain about that schedule.
All right, Tags. Well, let's talk about some guys who are available in less than 50% of leagues. Like, let's say Josh Doctson is still out there. You spend your whole fab on him, right?
Yeah, I'm at the point now where it's like, if there's someone out there that I can actually use in my starting lineup, like not just a bench stash or something like that, but if there's someone that I can actually use in my starting lineup, I'm willing to spend everything I have on him.
Okay, what about Corey Davis? I mean, Corey Davis, he kept getting a bunch of targets. Now it's down to four again last game against Houston, 12 yards. Do you even pick him up at this point if he's available?
I owe our listeners an apology because I promised that. I said that if Corey Davis didn't perform against Indy and Houston, that I will apologize, and I'm apologizing. I'm sorry for recommending Corey Davis. Obviously, he's not there yet. I think he has all the tools, and I do think he's a player down the road in Dynasty. Maybe go out there and buy low on him. But right now, I'm okay with someone dropping him. You know, he just had two of the best matchups that he'll have all season, and he walked away, you know, outside the top 50 wide receivers. He's got a matchup with Arizona and Patrick Peterson this coming week. I'm okay with dropping Corey Davis at this point.
I'm okay with dropping him. I'd still hang on to him, but like if you need to pick somebody else up, like if you need one of those running backs who's going to get a bunch of touches, or if you need a tight end to replace Gronk, yeah, I think he's someone who's droppable, but he's still got quite a bit of upside, I think, against San Francisco in week 15. So if you need an upside play, he's going to be a big time streamer next week.
Yeah, for sure. He's in that conversation with guys like Dontrell Inman. He's in there with Dede Westbrook. Like, those are the players that he's in that territory where I just don't feel comfortable starting him at this point. But it's not to say that he shouldn't be owned, but if there's someone out there like Marquise Goodwin, I would drop Corey Davis for Marquise Goodwin right now.
Now, you talked about Joe Flacco. You talked about Kaiser. What if Jameis Winston's out there? He's out there in right around 50% of leagues, and every time he's been healthy, except when he plays in a tropical storm, he produces. So, I mean, I think he's going to be just fine against Detroit, Atlanta. Carolina's going to be tough in week 16, but I'd rather have Jameis Winston than Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I have Jameis Winston this week. I started going through that game today, and against Detroit, I would consider him a low-end QB1. Detroit is all of a sudden a place where, you know, are a team that's allowing plenty of fantasy points to the quarterback position. So Jameis, you know, seeing him this week against Green Bay, he looked like the same exact quarterback that he was before he had his injury. You know, he's a guy that refuses to just throw the ball away. He refuses to go down with a sack without just throwing the ball up. It's a problem for the team. It's not so bad for fantasy owners because he takes shots down the field. And obviously you're looking for that big play, but it's, yeah, it hasn't been great with Jameis, but he's definitely someone that should be owned.
Now, here's a difficult one for me. I can't figure out what's going on here. Jordan Reed is still available in over 40% of leagues, right? And you look at him, he hasn't done anything in 6 weeks because he's been hurt. He's going to come back eventually, right? But then he only has one tight end, one performance all season long.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's not very good. He's not a very good bet for production at this point. And, you know, they play the Chargers this week, which is not a good matchup for tight ends. Then they play the Cardinals, who have been, you know, Cardinals and Broncos, for that matter, have been very giving to the tight end position this year. But no, I honestly, with Jordan Reed, I even in his first game back, let's pretend that he's out this week and then they say he's coming back in week 15. I can't trust him in his first game back. And do you want to trust him in your fantasy playoffs? A guy that hasn't been able to perform, who's got a foot injury, he's got other injuries to worry about. There's so much wrong with Jordan Reed. Him and Greg Olsen, I do not want. Like, Greg Olsen, if he was available on the waiver wire right now, I would not pick him up.
It depends on what you mean by trust, because there's like five tight ends I trust. The rest of the position is so volatile. I don't trust Jordan Reed, but I don't trust Steven Anderson either. Yeah, he's going to be starting in a lot of leagues this week. So, I mean, what it comes down to is upside. Jordan Reed has championship upside. He could get you 20 fantasy points in a game.
Well, he does for sure. And that's the thing is, I still think when he comes back, it's going to be a timeshare at Vernon Davis. And we've seen Vernon Davis kind of being phased out of this offense too. I just think that Kirk Cousins has learned to throw to others, not at the tight end position. I think he's learned that he has a number one wide receiver in Josh Doctson. Jamison Crowder obviously eats up a lot of those targets over the middle of the field. I know he had a bad game against the Cowboys, but he's been playing very, very good football up until that game. So, I Greg Olsen and Jordan Reed, I don't mess with foot injuries. I'm making it a rule for me going forward. I think we saw it with Sammy Watkins last year and trusting him with the foot injury he had going on. Dez Bryant, when he returned from the foot injury, wasn't playing as well. Greg Olsen, again, you know, re-injuring that foot, thinking he broke it. It's something that happened with Julian Edelman, Jordan Reed. Again, there's just so many things here is that I would much rather stream the position than worry about one of those guys.
Okay, man, that really sucks. That sucks for me at least because I've got Greg Olsen and Jordan Reed both in my most important league. So you're killing me, Tags. You're really making me sad over here. What about Rex Burkhead? Do you go out and spend your entire budget on him if he's available?
Absolutely. He's a RB2.
No way.
He's an RB2 every week. That's like, honestly, so I'm going to pull up my rest of season rankings just so I can make sure that I know exactly where I have him so I can tell you who I would rather have him over because I did update these yesterday. And let's see, Rex Burkhead, he is at number 24, exactly. So the players I have in his range are Derrick Henry, Marshawn Lynch, Duke Johnson. That's the territory that I view him in. And honestly, I could see bumping him up into... Actually, I could bump up to number 23 if I wanted to, just because I do believe for the remainder of the season that he is an every week start. He can get it done in standard leagues and PPR leagues. He's valuable in both. They're using Deion Lewis to kind of get them through the 20s. But once they get down into that goal line territory, they're giving the ball to Burkhead. He's been involved in the passing game. We haven't heard anything about Chris Hogan coming back. Like, that's the weirdest thing, right? Like, he's been out for a while. And there's no news, like none. Like, we have no idea. We don't know if he's not coming back till week 17. We have no idea. So Burkhead's role is more than safe. He's stolen work from James White. He's stealing work from Deion Lewis. He made Mike Gillisley inactive. Rex Burkhead is he's an every week play.
If you're still alive in the playoffs, you've got three games to win. And Rex Burkhead, I guarantee it, is going to put up a two-pointer one of those weeks and kill your chances. I cannot trust him. I would rather play Orleans Darkwa.
Well, the thing, what it comes down to for me, the reason, the breaking point for me that when I started trusting Rex Burkhead is when he fumbled and then Belichick went back to him the very next week and obviously the next week after that. So 2 weeks in a row after he fumbled, Belichick went back to him and trusted him. And if he's going to trust him and there's really nothing Burkhead could do outside of fumbling multiple times, that's going to lose him that role. He's given Belichick no reason to not trust him on the goal line. He's been really good in that role. So yeah, I mean, we've seen guys in his range like Marshawn Lynch, guys like Tevin Coleman, guys like Derrick Henry not show up. So why not take the guy who's been more consistent on a week to week basis?
I guess so, man. I don't know. You can play that
Believe
game.
Me, it's a weird year.
Yeah, it is a weird year. Rex Burkhead makes me feel so uncomfortable in my own skin because I don't trust him in fantasy whatsoever, which probably means he's going to dominate the rest of the year.
Well, it's funny, Bobby. Remember last week you asked me about Kenyon Drake. Was he droppable or something? And I said, no. And I said, he's a top 20 running back for the rest of the year. You're like, what? And I said, dude, trust me. Like, with Damian Williams gone, the workload he was going to see, Denver was down, I think, four starters in that game. So it wasn't like he was facing the tough Denver defense. But Kenyon Drake, man, like when you get that
he
volume.
He killed it against Denver.
Yeah, he did. He looks awesome too. He's breaking tackles. He has burst. He's got like this pep in his step. He seems like a kid that really is relishing the opportunity. Like, he's taking full advantage. He understands the opportunity in front of him and he's looking fantastic. And by all beat reporters, what they've said is that he looks like that guy in practice and they didn't know why he wasn't getting more touches even when Ajayi was on the team.
Where's he going to be drafted next year? Are we talking like a 7th, 8th round pick that could be a gem?
If they don't draft a running back, absolutely. And honestly, I loved how when Jay Ajayi, and I want to address this for real quick, it's a quick rant. Jay Ajayi, when he was traded to the Eagles, a lot of people crapped on the Dolphins and said that this is a horrible trade for them. They got a 4th round pick in return, that the Eagles stole him, that Jay Ajayi was going to be worth an RB1. Bobby, I know you were not part of that conversation. You were actually very, very low on Ajayi. And then after he breaks that long touchdown run in that game against, who was it against? The Broncos, I think it was. Yeah, he broke a long run against the Broncos and everybody said, oh, I guess the offense does matter. How about the fact that Kenyon Drake looks better than Jay Ajayi has all season? Like, can anybody stand up and actually admit the fact that Kenyon Drake
looks
better?
Not even close, is it? Is it close?
That's the thing. A lot of people will tell you that Ajayi was playing behind a bad offensive line and now he's went to a good team and he's just not getting enough carries. But Kenyon Drake has looked fantastic ever since they traded away Jay Ajayi. Now, the number I have here... Kenyon Drake, since they traded him, 398 total yards and 3 touchdowns on 70 touches. Like, there's no reason he shouldn't have been getting more touches when Damian Williams was on the field. But at the same time, I am so happy that Kenyon Drake has gotten the opportunity. I'm happy that he's showcasing it because, like I said, when I watch him, he seems like someone who's trying like his damnedest to get it done. And I like seeing that. Like, running back position, there's a lot of guys that you just kind of go through the motions. You know, you follow your blockers, you do this and that. And then there's guys where I see they have this pep in their step, and not just 1 week and then off the next, but every single week I watched him, he just has this this drive about him that it draws me to him. And I'm just happy to see someone like that get the opportunity and play like he has.
All right, Tags, a couple more guys here. Alfred Morris, Marquise Lee, Robert Woods. Do you spend your whole fab on all of them, or do you not really need to with Woods?
Woods is the only one that I wouldn't, because we don't know if he's coming back. They said he's out till at least week 15, which concerns me that even if he does come back, there's risk of re-injury there. So I do think he's worth rostering, but I don't think that you need to. I wouldn't spend more than a couple bucks on him.
Okay, that's fair. And then what about Alfred Morris if he's out there?
Alfred Morris, I think I don't want people to go like and think that one game has cured all of his problems, because, you know, he finally got the carries because the Dallas had a good game script. They're likely to have that good game script against the Giants in week 14, then week 15 against Oakland. Okay, that should be more of a back and forth battle. You could see it going either way. And then week 16 against Seattle. So,
well, week 16, Zeke's going to be back, so it doesn't matter. He's going to get one touch.
That's true. We almost forget about Zeke. But yeah, you're right. Alfred Morris is going to be useless in that game. So against the Giants and Oakland, I definitely think he's worth it. If you're getting a running back who's going to get 20 carries or 20 touches against the Giants defense, I definitely say he's worth all your fab budget.
All right, two last guys here, Orleans Darkwa and Doug Martin. I will throw Frank Gore in there too. And where would you rank these guys?
I don't want Doug Martin. Like, seriously, put him in the garbage. I didn't want to play him even when he had the starting job. Like, he's been so bad. So it comes down to Darkwa and Gore. Definitely Darkwa. Gore would be second on that list. Doug Martin would be third. It's Darkwa by a long shot, though. Darkwa is someone that I've actually come around to trust. They've been using him a little bit more in the passing game too. Eli Manning is now going to be back under center. If you're just listening now and you haven't heard, you know, if you've been sleeping under a rock or something like that, Eli Manning's back as the starting running back for the Giants, which kind of
quarterback, I think, not running back. Running back would be really funny.
That would be hilarious. I would actually pay to see that. But yeah, no, Orleans Darkwa, the matchup against Dallas, you know, we don't know if Sean Lee is going to be back yet, but if Lee is out, that's a plus. And then you have Philly and then Arizona. So actually weeks 15 and 16 aren't great, but I'd still add him over the other guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in the same boat as you. I'd spend quite a bit, 25% of my fab budget on Gore or Darkwa, but not the whole budget on any of them. Tags, let's do some drops now. Austin Hooper, I'm dropping him. Unless you're streaming him, and I don't think this is the week to stream him, just go ahead and drop him, right?
Agree with you. He hasn't topped over 50 yards, I want to say. He hasn't topped 49 yards since week one. He's one of those guys who stream that I'm not really worried about, that I need to hold on to.
Yeah, I'd drop Bilal Powell too. I just don't think he's a guy that you're ever going to start. He's probably your fourth or fifth running back, and it's not like he has big upside. I mean, he does. He could break off a big run or whatever, but he's not the kind of guy that you expect to get 20 touches in a week and you're going to rely on him. I just think for the rest of the season, he's probably never going to play for you, so you might as well drop him and pick up a really high upside guy.
Yeah, I can understand wanting to drop him there. Just depends on who you're dropping him for, because Matt Forte has dealt with some knee injuries, like some knee soreness that caused him to miss some time. If that pops back up, then Bilal Powell would be someone that people would run to the waiver wire to get, which makes me think that he's still worth a bench spot. Now, he plays Denver this week, then at New Orleans, and then against the Chargers. So the New Orleans and the Chargers aren't teams that like that dominate against the run. So he could have value in those weeks if something were to happen to Matt Forte. So I still do think that he has some value. I would probably hold.
James White, PPR standard league.
Drop
him in both?
Yep, you would never feel comfortable starting him. And that's, you know, it going back to Burkhead, I feel confident because they've given him a role and they've solidified it. James White, they've kind of put him in the back seat, and until someone messes up, James White's not getting that opportunity.
What about Kenny Stills?
Add. He's definitely someone that you want. He's someone that I actually, when doing my rest of season rankings, I moved over Devontae Parker.
He did 13 targets last game, man.
Yep, and it was with Jay Cutler. So.
I thought with Jay Cutler coming back that, you know, Kenny Stills was going to disappear, but it wasn't the case.
Nope. Kenny Stills has performed, actually going back to his New Orleans days, Kenny Stills has performed a lot. He's done so well. He's got a couple top five finishes this year. He's just playing so well. He's a guy that he never seemed to get the opportunity, even though he's been efficient with all of his targets. It reminds me a lot of Rishard Matthews, which is funny. Rishard Matthews comes from the Dolphins. He was treated a similar way, where it's like these guys just don't get the targets that we think that they should. But being he is now, I'm trusting him. So I think Stills is a wide receiver 3 going forward.
If you prorate his stats out to the entire season, 64 receptions, 977 yards, 8 touchdowns. That is a really good fantasy wide receiver, Tags.
That's really good, especially considering he, in 4 of the first 5 games, he didn't see more than 5 targets. So,
exactly.
Yeah, no, he's been so good lately.
Danny Amendola.
I mean, it's tough to say that he's droppable because they're playing the Dolphins this week on Monday Night Football and they're not going to have Rob Gronkowski. So he's probably going to be in the wide receiver 3 conversation against the Dolphins this week. So hold.
I'd drop him. He's the kind of guy that I don't feel safe starting any week. Like half the weeks he totally kills you. Half the weeks he's mediocre. He really doesn't have a big ceiling. It's, you know, you've got a chance at mediocre. So I don't want him on my team. I'm dropping him.
Yeah, I understand wanting to drop. I really do understand it, so I'm not going to pretend that I don't. But being attached to Brady, I mean, again, Miami's secondary is so bad, and the touchdowns have to go to somebody.
Yeah. Why are people still holding on to Randall Cobb? He's a drop, right? He's still owned in 50% of leagues.
Yeah, no, I brought that up in the primer last week. People were referencing the fact that he had, I think, 3 of the last 4 games with 50 yards or more. And what I did, it was in there, I said that that in all 3 of those games, he totaled a play that was over 30 yards long, that a lot of his production was relying on one play that got him a bunch of yardage. He's not doing it consistently. Don't trust him.
Yeah.
And then last week we saw, you know, big fat 0 in the lineup. So, yeah, he's definitely a drop for me.
I think 3 pretty obvious drops based on what happened to Tyrod Taylor last week. It's just time to drop him and move on. Don't mess around with that. I'd rather start Blake Bortles like Sig was saying earlier. Ty Montgomery is on the IR. Just drop him. Will Fuller is out again. Just drop him.
Yeah, I'm on board with all that.
Jermaine Kearse is not a drop. You keep him. He is. He was money last week.
He was, and that's someone like, man, I said at the beginning of the year, and I still feel like it to a certain extent, is that I don't know how confident I am putting Jermaine Kearse in my lineup. And I want to say that because I don't want people out there to just think they pick him up and he's just going to turn in back-to-back 100-yard performances like he did the last 2 weeks. Going back before that, the 4 games before that, 35 yards, 38 yards, 14 yards, 29 yards. There is a lot of risk that is tied to Jermaine Kearse. I don't want to rely on him against Denver, who's playing this week. Against the Saints, they're going to have Lattimore back. He's probably going to cover Robbie Anderson. So Ken Crawley's been playing better. And then the Chargers in week 16. Jermaine Kearse,
yeah,
I'm not going out of my way to get Jermaine Kearse. And honestly, if I have him, I'm just more tempted to play him than anything. And that scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Those matchups are not good. But you mentioned those past weeks and all the, you know, he didn't have many yards. He also didn't have many targets. The last 2 weeks, he had 11 targets and 10 targets. So you're right. It's tempting. Hopefully you have better options than Jermaine Kearse, though.
That's what we hope at this point. But it's someone who might be looking at Jermaine Kearse and Corey Davis. And if they're looking at that, I'd probably rather play Jermaine Kearse at this point.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
ugly.
It's pretty close. Tyler Kroft. Drop him if you're not streaming him, right?
Yeah, for sure. Drop.
Theo Riddick.
He's an ad. Like, he's hold on to. I saw his increased work coming before last week. And then when we found out Abdullah was going to be inactive, I was like, yeah, fire him up. He was a DFS play. He was a cash game play. There was so much to like about him. The whole Tion Lewis thing I wanted to bring up because I think they're different roles. Theo Riddick has earned a bigger role going forward, even if Amir Abdullah is active. And I honestly think that they might as well just keep Amir Abdullah on the bench and just kind of let things play out as they are because they weren't running the ball with him. So Theo Riddick is a flex play going forward.
I'd play him in the flex in PPR. I would not own him in a standard league because I just don't think he gets enough touches.
Yeah, that's fair. In a standard league, he's definitely not worth as much, but I still think he offers some value in standard.
All the hopes about Austin Eckler, I think, are dead. Go ahead and drop him, in my opinion. Tags, what do you think?
He's one of those high, I don't think he's a drop. I think he's in that category with someone like James Conner or Charkendrick West, where they're a very, very, very high value backup. And don't rely on him for weekly performance like you know, some people have the last couple weeks. Don't rely on him for that. Rely on him as a high value handcuff, where if something happens to Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler is an RB1 every week.
An RB1? You really think so?
I do. That offense is clicking on all cylinders. There's a lot more to worry about than Austin Eckler on that team.
I mean, Gordon is – he's a fringe RB1. He's probably, what, ranked 8 to 10 most weeks at running back. You think Eckler's as good as Melvin Gordon?
I do. Well, I think he can be more – I think he could actually be more efficient. I don't know if he'll be as good on the goal line as Gordon is, but I think he can be more efficient with his carries.
Wow. Okay. All right, Tags, anyone else you want to talk about here?
I mean, one player I would say, I don't know how people, I'm sure there's people out there that own both these guys or one or the other, CJ Anderson and Devontae Booker. CJ Anderson all of a sudden got tons of carries this week. Like what is going on there, Bobby? Like, would you drop Booker? Would you drop Anderson? Do you want no part of either of them? Like what's your take on that situation?
I think that Anderson has a pretty substantial ceiling. I mean, we saw him get 20 carries. What was it? Four of the first five games. So we know that Denver has thought about going to Anderson that much. Maybe it happens again. I'd keep him just in case he gets 20 carries this week, and then you throw him right out there for week 15 and week 16. I don't think Booker has that kind of upside. I mean, if Anderson gets hurt, yeah, but it's not like he's an RB1 if Anderson gets hurt, so he's not a keep for me.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Yeah, so week 15 and week 16, he plays at Indianapolis and then at Washington. So two plus matchups in week 15 and 16. The question is, can the Broncos remain competitive enough for him to get those carries? That's the question.
Yeah. The only other guy I wanted to mention, I almost forgot him, Marlon Mack. We talked about him a little bit last week. If Frank Gore does go down, which is probably not going to happen, he's got to be the most durable running back in football. But if it does happen, I think Marlon Mack has substantial upside. He's a definite RB2, could be a top five running back because he's so electric. So he's another guy that I would add if you have the roster space.
Yeah, he's definitely a high upside backup. I really wanted the Colts to go to him out of the bye week, but they didn't, and it's unfortunate, but I get it. You know, they wanted Frank Gore to enjoy his last days in the NFL because this is probably his last season. So, but Mack is definitely someone that he's in that Eckler territory where it's like you want to make sure that you have him on a bench in case something happens to the starter.
Yeah. All right, Tags. Well, that's all for today's show. And for those of you guys listening at home, remember, we've got the giveaway going on. We're upgrading one listener to the Hall of Fame package. That's our top package with all the goodies. All you have to do to get into the giveaway is subscribe and review to our podcast on iTunes, take a screenshot, and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. We're going to pick one name next week. Also, thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Leesa Mattress. That's LEESA.com/fantasypros. For $100 off your mattress order. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy duty rotisserie or rust resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.